All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, October 21st of 2025. It is officially NBA opening night. So super exciting day. Those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. Super exciting day here with NBA back. Very excited about it myself. Let's get SaberSim pulled up. We do have plenty of questions that came in prior to the show. So we will start with one that came in at the end of yesterday's show. I actually ended up answering this in office hours, but I'll answer it here as well because it was a good question. If I have two contests, Minimax and Play Action, and two builds, contrarian and balanced, how do I get the contrarian into the Minimax and balance into the Play Action, then save the entries? Sorry for putting this in multiple places. Yeah, no problem at all. So the big thing here, right, is like when you're like trying to be specific, like, hey, I want to kind of play this way in one build, this way in another build. I would actually turn the templates off by just selecting it. Okay. That's like how you turn it off. And I would just create a manual lineup group. Okay. You just click the create a group button. And then what you do is at this point, you select the contest that you want. Okay. And then I think I have a test file here. So yeah, I just did like one entry in like a contest. So then I can just click the plus icon. And then in this window, I'm only going to assign the contest I want. So like in this one, maybe I assign just the Minimax. And then in build two, I go and do the same exact process. And then in that one, I only select the Play Action. So it all comes down to, my opinion, turning the templates off, using a manual group, and then just assigning the one contest you want to use for that specific group here, or for that specific build. So that's how I do that. All right, next question. Can you discuss portfolio sim EV and flashback ROI? If both of them are positive, your builds are sound. The remaining variable is variance, which you cannot control. Keep building sound lineups. Variance will swing. That in a nutshell. Good question. So, number one most important thing, in my opinion, is you want your flashback ROI to be positive, okay? Your flashback ROI is basically telling you, hey, if we play this slate out, you know, 1,000 times, 10,000 times, you win more money than you lose over the long term, okay? That's going to be really important, especially getting into a sport like NBA. You know, we're going to have NBA 30 days a month for 6 months, right? November, December, January, February, March. It bleeds into April a little bit, like 5.5 months. And then you get into like the playoffs and stuff. So we're looking at least like 5 solid months of like NBA action, right? You know, that is like 150 main slates, right? That is very, very close to kind of MLB status. You know, MLB going from like April to September, at least like for the regular season, right? NFL is like super high variance because, you know, think about it. There's 18 main slates. There's 18 weeks. So you have 18 main slates. You know, that is less than 1 month of NBA, you know, and we're talking about 5 months, right? So sample sizes are a lot lower in NFL and it can get like a lot swingier. But that flashback ROI, you definitely want that to be positive. Portfolio sim EV is similar as well. Right? It'll tell you like actual EV, portfolio sim EV. What this is like when you go to the contest tab, like either after the slate's over, or like when the slate is in progress, you're going to see a column pop up called sim EV. The portfolio sim EV is just like all of those numbers added together. So it's like, hey, you know, this is where we think you're going to net out in this contest. And then hopefully your portfolio sim EV sums to a value higher than your entry fees would be how I would think about it. All right. Keeping it rolling. Next question. Testing some FanDuel NBA Showdown builds for tonight, and it seems to struggle to get above 2,000 lineups built. Any particular reason for that? I wouldn't have a good answer to that. I think that's a little bit more on the technical side and something that I wouldn't be privy to as to like why that would happen. Where I would first start is just lowering min salary to zero. I would just drop min salary to zero and see if it improves. If it's not improving, then, you know, what I think like would probably be happening is that when a lineup is built more than once, it like kind of gets trashed. So it's like we run the sims, the lineups get generated. If a lineup gets generated again, it's like, okay, we can't use that one. Go back, generate, pull another sim, right? Generate again. Oh, we can't use that one. Oh, we can't use that one. You might end up just like getting in a loop where some lineups are just showing up so often, taking up time. And then the build ends up timing out before it could build more unique lineups. So I just want to say that because I think that, you know, I just want to be clear that you probably do have a very strong pool of 2,000 lineups, even if that's kind of where you're netting out. And obviously NBA is a little bit more of like a projection heavy sport. So just some food for thought there, but just some of my ideas coming to me. All right. Next question. For a short sleep like tonight, I want a mix of lineups, including some that focus on game stacks, as well as some that prioritize a team's bench over their starters. Is it possible to do this without building a lineup separately with strict rules or adjusted projections? I do not think you could do this easily all in one build. And I think that anytime you want to tackle different game scripts, so to speak, you're going to be best off doing that in different builds and then combining the lineups into the favorites. So might not be the answer you were looking for, but I do think if you're trying to be very specific like this, that it is better to do it separate. That way you can be very particular in what you want in each build and then combine them all together at the end. So might have to do it the long way here. All right, next question. What are methodological best practices for correlation and sim diversity settings in NBA? So good question about the sliders here. We'll go back to our build. Now I do want to say that, you know, honestly, the best practice here is to not change them, okay? And the reason for that is that we do contest backtesting of different slate sizes to determine which sliders produce the highest, you know, EV lineups on average, right? If we thought, you know, you should be using 0-6 instead of 0-9 for tonight's slate, like we would set 0-6 as the default. You know, we want you to have the best sliders out of the gate. When it comes to sliders, you know, the only real question for me is like, why should you change them? You know, and it's not so much what should they be, you know, they already are the best, but what is a reason for wanting to change it? Right. And so for me, I think it's like, okay, maybe, you know, this actually goes back to the last question a little bit. You know, if you're doing different builds and you want one set with like a lot of game stacks, well, maybe you should increase the correlation slider in that, you know, one game script build to maybe promote stacking, right? Maybe if I boost correlation from 0 to 5, I get more stacks. You know, maybe I don't, but I at least can try, right? If I'm trying to do something highly specific like that, boosting correlation in that one build can make sense. You know, that would be a reason here. I was talking to somebody, I think, for NFL yesterday, and they were like, hey, you know, I really trust my custom projections. Would it make sense that if I think they're very accurate to lower sim diversity? And I said, yes, that's actually the perfect opportunity to lower sim diversity. Is like, you know what? The higher the sim diversity goes, the more variance, you know, you're introducing. I want to play closer to my projections. And so therefore, I think that lowering them makes sense in that instance, right? And they asked me how much. I said half. So here, you know, if you're on nine, I don't know, four or five, flip a coin, you know, they're both about half, right? So, you know, for me, it's like, okay, why should I change this? And it's like, you want to do something highly specific, but if you don't have a good reason to, I would leave them at their default and try and find some other place to put your touch on things, your spin on things, and add some value. All right, next question. Sorry, late here. Yeah, no worries. But do we adjust the contest selection or build settings for NBA small slates compared to larger slates? So kind of going back to the settings, no. You know, we and you'll see this like come tomorrow. I think tomorrow is like an 11-game slate or something. You know, we're using these 0-9 correlation sliders, which is almost as close to, you know, single-game sims as it gets, right? No correlation outside of like the play-by-play correlation. And then the sim diversity, you know, at 9, where it's still using a group of sims, but not using single game just yet. You know, this is what we've determined is good for 2-game slates, right? We might come in tomorrow to an 11-game slate and we might see, I don't know, 2-7 or something like that, right? I'm just guessing. I don't know what it is exactly. I'd have to go back to last season, but 11-game slate is going to be different. You know, a 6-game slate might be different again. You know, you don't need to adjust anything because we understand like what sliders do well at different game sizes. And then, you know, from there, you can run your build comfortably. You know, we don't recommend like any default rules or filters as well or anything like that. But with all these NBA questions with tip off tonight, why don't we run a little bit of a demo here? So fire building lineups for NBA for tonight. Oh, what would I do? So I'm a little more on like, even if it's like a 2-gamer, you know, I might want my minimum just to be a little bit higher. I don't want to sacrifice too much projection, me personally. So I'm going to boost minimum to 45K. I might do something weird. I don't know how much duplication will matter here. I think this would be a good test run. You know, there's some more 2-game slates coming up. I think Thursday there's like a 2-gamer. I think next week there's like a couple 2-gamers. Maybe I just want to avoid max salary lineups. You know, I don't know if duplication is going to be important or not, but we'll figure it out, right? But here, making a super small adjustment on the high end, making a little adjustment on the minimum end, not doing anything else. I'm just coming at this from the perspective, I think duplicates are going to be something you want to be aware of and try and account for here. So I'm going to make small adjustments. And then, you know, what will I do tomorrow, right? Tomorrow, I'm going to come back in here, go look at the results in flashback, and then make a more informed decision about, hey, you know, were there a lot of dupes? Did I account for it correctly? Do I need to account for it more? Can I account for it less? And, you know, just kind of iterate on that. But I'm going to start with something small, but still, you know, noteworthy, right? Avoiding max salary lineups here. Obviously, a lot of people like to spend the max salary, especially hand building, and then, you know, projection heavy sport, probably people are going to be trying to jam in as much value as possible. All right. So this lineup is finishing here. Follow up one more, adjusting the lineup pool. Does that have a major impact on builds? So I'm not 100% sure what you mean by lineup pool, just because there's kind of two pools, right? There's like your player pool, and then there is like your lineup pool. I don't know what exactly you mean by adjusting it. You know, when I think of like adjusting, right, I'm thinking like, okay, maybe you're taking players out of the player pool and kind of tweaking things that way. As far as like adjusting your lineup pool, right, when I think of adjusting it, I think of maybe setting filters, you know, some type of projection filter or things like that. Okay, thank you for clarifying. 1,500 from 5,000. I just do that for the sake of time on the show. It just takes a lot longer to run the full 5,000. And running 1,500 still gives me enough lineups to do demos with and, you know, build and tweak stuff. But for everybody listening, I would always build the max number of lineups that your plan allows. Okay. The way SaberSim works is that we generate all of your lineups. They go into the pool and then they get graded. So in theory, your last built lineup could be your best lineup. We don't generate like your best lineup and then your second best and then your third, like kind of all the way down. So always do as many lineups as your plan allows. Maybe the only time I wouldn't do that is if I was in like a time crunch, if I had, you know, 2 minutes before a lock and I needed to get these lineups in, you know, the first time, like I haven't submitted anything, then okay, yeah, you know, I might drop it down just to, again, cut down on time. That's like the only reason you would ever want to do that. So, you know, just remember that when we get into the dog days and there's like a ton of late breaking news and stuff like that. Jay Johnson said, got it. Thanks. Appreciate these office hours. Yeah, no problem. Happy to help. All right. So getting back to this, we ran our pool and let's say I'm building, you know, 20 lineups and I'm going to diversify. All right. So my lineups pop up. Maybe I like to view them in expanded view. It's just my preference. And it's first NBA slate of the year, so I'm going to have to reorganize a little bit. Already got some questionable players on the nightcap on day one. Welcome to NBA. All right, ownership, exposure, leverage. Fantasy points per minute, minutes, value, looks pretty good. All right, cool. So I'm in here, I'm in this build, right? Ran some lineups, ran the sim, ran the diversifier, using portfolio, sorting by exposure. I think it's pretty normal that you're going to see, you know, even high exposures, even using portfolio on a two-game slate. You know, ownerships are really high. 51%, 40, 45, 45, you know, a ton of like concentrated ownership. So here, right, I come in and what I like to do is I always recommend just coming in, getting a feel for the slate. And the ways I do that are like, okay, where are the highest value spots on the slate? Usually players over a six value is like where you get into like, okay, somebody might've been ruled out territory. I just like to sort by value, maybe go team by team. If there's not too many teams on the slate, sort by projection, look at statuses. Okay, who's out? What are their salaries? Okay, a couple of low salary players are out for Houston. Not like a big deal. Jalen Williams out for OKC. I didn't know that. You know, pretty important piece to the team there. Okay, is anybody questionable still, right? That's another status thing that I'll be looking for. Okay, Butler, hey, 8K, questionable. Kuminga, 5,900, questionable. Lower salary guys out. LeBron James out for Lakers, you know, 9,500. Okay. No questionables here. It's like what I'm doing, right, is I'm just taking some mental notes. And you can even write these down. I'm like, hey, a couple questionables on OKC in the second game. Got to make sure that I check my lineups. And if they get ruled out, want to late swap. Right? That's like a mental note that I'm making here. And then other one is, hey, you know, Jalen Williams out for OKC. I could see how maybe, you know, that has something to do with Hartenstein being good value, right? Because, okay, yeah, Chet is also, I mean, Hartenstein's like a center, but he's usually coming off the bench and Chet is usually starting. But now with Williams out, maybe they go with Hartenstein starting as well. So maybe he's, you know, priced here as like a bench player, you know, first or second man off the bench, but, you know, now he's getting the opportunity to start. So for me, it's like, okay, let's make the slate make sense. Let's see if we see anything weird here, right? Hartenstein value makes sense with Jalen Williams out, you know, checkbox there. And then we have some questionables on Golden State. I was a little surprised we didn't see a little bit more value on the Lakers with LeBron James out tonight, you know, kind of a slightly different looking team with Ayton, with, you know, Marcus Smart. And, you know, what do the Lakers look like, you know, this year, right? Luka, Reeves, Ayton, looks like just sorting minutes. Reeves, Luka, Rui, Ayton, maybe Vincent, maybe Marcus Smart. I'm not sure. Smart has a higher salary lower minutes, but Vincent has lower salary, higher minutes. Not really sure how this is all going to play out. So like this would be a spot where I'd be like, okay, confirm the Lakers starting lineup, right? Like I would be making a mental note like, hey, I want to make sure I know who is starting and I want to make sure that projections don't change with regard to minutes when the starters are announced. So you know, I'm making the slate make sense to myself. But aside from that, you know, we actually get back to like the building lineups part. Okay, you know, maybe I'm happy with these lineups. Maybe I like the Hartenstein value. I'm okay with Draymond, you know, especially if, you know, this team ends up having somebody ruled out. Hey, that usage has to go somewhere. Maybe, you know, having a lot of this exposure to like the later game with 70% Reeves, 60% Luka, 60% Ayton, 90% Draymond. Maybe it makes sense, and maybe that gives me a lot of late swap opportunities and eligibility here. That way I can take advantage of any news that comes out in the later games. So always remember that, you know, your exposures, if you plan on late swapping, I think this is like a really good thing to kind of remember. If you are planning on late swapping, your exposures to the players whose games haven't started doesn't really matter. They're just placeholders. Think of them as just placeholders. Like what I would mostly be concerning myself with at the start of this slate is, what is my exposure to the Houston and OKC players? And am I okay with that? I can dial in the Golden State Lakers stuff later, but like, am I okay with the Hartenstein exposure? Shai, Dort, Jabari Smith, Tari Eason, Steven Adams. You know, I'm keying in on those players whose games are starting, and then letting the late swap and the live sims and the live fields figure out how to re-optimize from there. So I think that's also a pretty useful nugget here. But at this point, I'm happy with how my early, you know, early game exposure looks. I would save it, and I'd be ready to rock and roll. So there's a little NBA demo for you guys for tonight. All right. Looking around here, looks like we're all set. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.